Man, we've just completed, you know, this is January 8th, you know, 8 is the number of new beginnings, and so this is a great time of year in January to start anew, whatever it is that, you know, God wants you to do, and a lot of people want to make changes, and, you know, a lot of times I know it's with scheduling or like dieting and exercising and those type of things. But just remember, you know, Paul says to Timothy that, hey, all that stuff is good and it profits, but the real change is going to take place when there's godliness. And if we have the Holy Spirit of God inside, he can make those changes. And anybody that knows it, spend any time like, man, I got to straighten my life up and get away from these people. And then they move. And then you get somewhere else and you're like, huh, you seem to land with troubled people, you know, because that's where you are. And that's, of course, troubled people are everywhere. Or anybody that's done rehab, you know, sometimes you get out and you're like, holy night, it's a little easier to stay clean sometimes in those type of places in an environment that, like, really tries to force it out. But then, you know, so it's difficult. So real change has got to take place on the inside. Amen? So a lot of us have experienced change in our life because we met Christ and he moved inside. That's the start. Is Jesus Christ entering inside. You know, and when Jesus Christ, after he resurrected, and he says, man, if you place your faith and trust in me, he said, the first thing you need is a group of people. And so he put the church together. And so we need the Holy Spirit inside. That's when you get saved. He moves inside. But folks, you need the church. If your Christianity doesn't need a local church, then your Christianity ain't right. And you can you want to fight me on that, then come with Scripture. Because I'm telling you, every verse that Paul writes, either a pastor to a church or to a church and a gathering group of people. And I'm all about I like the big C, the church. I know there's a church in Tampa this morning that are meeting too. And they're part of us. They're part of the body of Christ. But I'm talking about the edge of accountability. I'm talking about the edge of a group of people that you can do life with. And you don't have to use it. You'll just be sickly the rest of your life. You'll just be an unhealthy Christian. And so we got the Holy Spirit and we got the church. And then, of course, now we got a completed Bible. We got the Bible. So a lot of people do that now, especially we live in Laodicea. The word Laodicea means the rights of the people. So you know what church is and what spiritual life is and what doing good is? Whatever you or whatever I think it is, instead of getting a real biblical perspective on this. That's what we need is the big picture perspective from God's word. And so I hope, man, this year as you start, today is 8, the day of new beginning. And some of you might even say, I feel like this week wasn't a good week for me. Well, guess what? It's gone now. It's past now. You can do nothing about it. And so today's a brand new day. Do you know today is the day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave? Sunday. That's why we gather. We're not under the law anymore. We're not under Sabbath. So we gather on this first day of the week because this is the day Jesus resurrected. This is the day where we can be filled with faith and filled with hope as we press through the rest of our week. This is why we gather as a team on this day. Because the key to victory in all of our lives is that our Savior resurrected from the grave. He defeated sin and death and then came back to life 3 days later. There ain't nothing I can't get through. There's nothing too difficult for him. Right? Now for me it is, but that's why I'm here, because I need to be filled with hope and filled with faith of God's word, and then I need to put my feet to action, man, and do exactly what the Bible said. So this is what I want to do today, is I just want to encourage you. I want you to leave this place just filled with faith that true change can happen. My life don't have to be the mediocre. You don't have to, it's like you ever go to, for us it would be Dairy Queen, you know, but if you ever go to like Cold Stone, that's the place where your ice cream's $10 instead of $3. You know, you ever go in there and just walk up and all the line of people and it's crowded and you're walking through and I get up to the counter and I just say, I'll just take some vanilla ice cream, thank you. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to beat me up. That's what they're going to do. Waiting in line all this time, holding up for vanilla ice cream? Just when there's so many options available to you, you know. And that's a lot of us, we're just vanilla. We just remain in that mediocre state of our Christianity. And I pray today that would encourage your heart to go a little further. God, may I see what you see. That's the problem, is we see things with these human eyes and it messes us up, don't it? We're all jacked up, you know. They say people view God the way they view their fathers. No wonder we're messed up, you know. This morning in our church reading, by the way, has anybody enjoyed the church reading? Wow. I'm telling you, every day, like, and I'm not saying this just to get you. I get no points if you're on church reading, by the way. I just want you to know that. Nobody, like, says, oh, the Maple Seed Baptist Church, we're going to send them a $100 check because they got X amount of people reading. And no. Ezra chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. I'm telling you, I ended Ezra chapter 8 today in that verse 36. And on all the drama, and then you even get to the book of Acts, and they're telling us, you know, Stephen ran through all that history. Then we get to Acts chapter 8. But I like it, Ezra 8, 36, it says, and they furthered the people and the house of God. I was like, boy, Lord, that's it. To live our life with that purpose where you get yourself in a spot where your relationship with God is really good and sweet, and then you rescue other people, and you want to see people furthered and come along beside you. And here it says, they furthered the people and the house of God. So today, God, give us a vision for your kingdom, for something that really matters, to live a life of purpose, that when I stand before a holy God at the end of this thing, I can say, man, I poured it out for you. You so changed my life, man. I just want to see other people that are furthered and they're kingdom people. Sir Francis Drake said this, disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we just sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord. God, disturb me. Don't let me sleep at night. Lord, when I'm just pleased with myself and where I'm at, when my dreams come true because I just don't dream very big at all, when I arrive safely everywhere and my life's just good because I got it so structured and ordered in a box. Today, Lord, disturb me. Disturb me. I pray that you would pray that prayer today as we talk about vision, because this is what it's going to take. We need to be a church that's disturbed by the Holy Spirit, that we're disturbed by God and what he has for us. You know, having vision and a direction, and we know what this is. It's more mental vision, like what we're talking about in the Bible. I get that. But having vision, a direction, like a target to aim at, you know, and a lot of people do this. If you're a disciplined person, and it depends on what type of person you are on the scale of personality test. Some of you, like, have more discipline than others. But people that aren't disciplined, sometimes they got a skill set that you're like, wow, that's incredible too. Yeah. Every, like, personality, every individual brings something unique to the table, for sure. But some people can really set a goal and a target, and, like, they're good at keeping it. But what you find out is when you go to God's word, you're just like, unfortunately, that was just the wrong target. Do you guys remember the 2004 Olympics? I do. I was 34 years old. This is about 18 years ago, right? Matthew Emmons, who's been in now, like, I think, three Olympics. He was the guy that he did the air rifle. He's one of the Americans that does the shooting. And he was totally in line for the gold. Nobody was, like, close to him. All he had to do, this is the 53-meter position rifle final. He was up for his final shot. And it says all you need to do is that inner ring you need to hit, which that inner ring's pretty, most of them, that's where they hit because they're Olympians, you know. They're aiming for the middle, but most of them can get in that pattern. So all he needed to do is shoot right there, somewhere in that middle, and he would seal his gold medal. So he prepared himself mentally. He got up there. He paused his breathing. You know, they wear them special suits. It's kind of weird watching them do their thing. He took aim and then fired, and the bullet passed right through the bullseye. The funny thing is like, he didn't hear the sound. You know, the buzzer that goes off, the same tone, like that when you got it, bam, perfect, it was good. And he realized, he looked up, and he totally shot at the wrong target. Because, you know, they put these guys all in a row, and they're just, pew, 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 they go down the line, and he shot at the one over here. He dropped to eighth place. He didn't even get a medal that year. Now, he's a stud, man. The guy does that. But the bottom line is I thought, just what a great example we have of sometimes we set goals, and some of them are even lofty, but gang, just make sure they're right ones. And I'm telling you, godliness is profitable unto all things. Where's your spiritual goals? That's what you need to do. And guys, I don't care. Some of you ain't even willing to share your goals. Some of you don't even want any goals. You know why? Because you're a survivor. You're just going to get by. You're just trying to make it another week, right? Pay your bills another month. You got to get past that as a believer, the Bible says, and to have some real goals. I thank God put eternity in our hearts. When we met Jesus Christ, he didn't meet you just to straighten your life up. He didn't meet you just to clean you up. Like, really, God is on a mission. And we know Jesus Christ walked planet Earth to seek and save those that were lost. When Jesus Christ left the planet, you know what he told everybody? Hey, stay sober, guys. He never said that. You know what he told them to do? Guys, be fruitful. You have something that the world needs. Live your life like that. Revenging, going a vengeance against disobedience and on obedience. We want to see people come to know Jesus Christ, right? And that's what he said. That's how he lived. He didn't even come to be ministered to. He came to give his life away, to give it for other people. And so let's be careful, man. We do need goals, ambitions, targets. And so I learned something great this year. I'm not sure it's going to come out in this message, but already I've learned it 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, wow, this has really super duper helped me. So if you would right now, just take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to go basically to three big passages. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, he says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There's a mark, there's a goal, there's a bullseye, and it is the high calling of God. This is the goal. It's spiritual. It's godliness. It's my relationship with him. And guys, I'm telling you, you put your eggs in that basket, the other things will come. It's amazing how you'll find, like, now I have the inward strength because I'm not naturally this type of person, but all of a sudden I'm finding myself changing. 3 points in Philippians chapter, I'm going to take you to three passages of scripture today. This is the first one, Philippians 3:13. The first thing you got to do, gang, if this year, if we want real vision as a church, if we want real, you know, last week we had Carla up here, you know, on her retirement and just doing some interview with her and asking her some questions, and I like some of the things she said. It was just so simple, but yet she was just like, you know, because the world that she's in, you know, they still talk about things that drive us crazy. And you imagine being in that realm, especially use the work medical. And she's just like, guys, I'm never going to talk about COVID the rest of my life. You know, I just thought that was funny, but I just thought, you know what she's saying is I'm putting the past behind. I got to go on, you know. And I was down in Georgia, actually, and went to a coffee shop. And at the coffee shop, they had like a gate. You couldn't even get close. And they're like, we're not having any inward seating, just on the outside. I was like, are you kidding me? So what's this for? And she goes, well, you know, just because of COVID, the numbers are going up. And, you know, I was just like, hey, ma'am, I said, I don't know if you're the manager or not, but I just want you to know the world's trying to move on. Just want you to know that, man. Like, and so it's funny, but the, you know what? A key to getting past your past is you got to be able to forget it. So you know what you do? You know, bad memories, create new ones, you know? So first of all, forget the past. Forget what's behind. So in the midst of a crazy failure in your life, some of you, and guys, it could be big things, you know, that are like big failures, like, you know, but you got to put that behind you to press forward. We learn from it for sure. I don't think you just blind eye it, but you got to forget it because that stuff tends to hold you back. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren in the Bible. You know what he wants to do? He wants you to always remember your past. He always wants you to hold on to the things. When the Bible says, let those things go, you know, don't let that beset you. That's weight that's trying to hold on to you, and you got to get rid of that stuff, right? And so, man, Jason, I meant to say something this morning. Man, we've been praying for Jason. He's in church this morning. He told me he's going to work Monday. I'm like, what? My gosh. Yeah, guys, and I don't know what you think about this, and I don't know exactly all the medical things going on, but when I went up to the hospital, that first day he was put in there, I just thought, God, save his life. I mean, it scared me, man. They were talking lungs issues and all of a sudden the heart and all that. That you don't want to play with that type of stuff. You'd rather have a broken back, you know, because at least, hey, fix this arm. It's all jacked up. So, Jason, praise the Lord that you're here. And God answered our prayers, you know. And I don't think he's out of the woods, but he's walking that way, you know. I got lost once in the woods. It's scary. When you're not an outdoors guy, I wasn't. I'm a city boy. I chased a deer. It was the last day of deer season. I had my rifle and I wanted another one. And I started chasing this deer. I got myself in thickets and places I didn't think I could ever get out of. I chased, 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 and finally the sun's going down and the deer is too far. He would stop after a while, you know, and I'd just like, man. So I'd start heading that way, you know. And so then all of a sudden the sun was going down and I realized something. I don't know where I'm at. And I'm not, you know, you would think you just say, you know where the direction the sun goes down, what direction that is? And I was like, no. And I'm not lying, I was lost. I thought, I tell you what I'm doing, I'm just going to keep walking until I finally get out of timber and I hope I hit a road somewhere. It was terrifying. Jason's heading in the right direction. He knows it, so I don't think he's out of the woods, but he's heading out of the woods, man. So anyways, I'm glad he's here with us and praise the Lord for that. Forget the past. Forget the past. Guys, leave behind what's behind. Last year, even failed goals, sin, and I know sin that sin keeps creeping up, guys, we got to leave it behind. But the next thing it says in verse 13 is you not just forget the past. A key to forgetting the past is reaching forward. You know, it's kind of like most people, they call this laziness when you got 10 things to carry down to your basement and you want to get it all at once. And so you try to get it all together, and you're making a mess and dropping things. Then you're angry, you know, and then it just makes a disaster. And so what you need to do is sometimes your hands are so full. Well, if you want to pick up new things, what you got to do is you got to unload. And then you go back, and you can do that again. It's very similar spiritually. Forget the past. Forget what happened last year. I'm not real happy with that last, you know, quarter of the year, or how this or how that went, or how I performed at work, or as a father, I wished I'd have done more. You know, I had some good intentions. And so what I needed is forget that, but I need to reach forth now. Guys, stretch. Stretch. Reach forward. That's where the effort needs to go. That's why Paul always talked about that, right? The athletics. He always talked about a runner, a wrestler, a boxer, because they're always pushing and always going forward. So out of Philippians 3 today, for us to get the vision that God wants us to have, we have got to let go of the past. What's behind us is behind us. It's called history. We learn from it, but we reach forth. We stretch forth. And then the next thing it says in the next verse, it says, and then press towards the mark, the goal, the mark, the high calling of God. So let's put the high calling of God. And guys, some of you, you know what's crazy? What's crazy is some of our goals that we set, and I want to be this or do that, I want my kids to be that. Then you look at other people and you're like, my gosh, I know one guy, his name's Mike Napper, he's a missionary, I follow him, spoke to him just a few times, but not face to face. This guy like does more in like 3 days with his life than I did last year. And it's amazing to me, but he's a guy just like you and me, you know? You're like, I'm praying for my neighbor. And this guy, he not only prays for his neighbor, he prays for people that his kids are involved in, all that, and then it stretches out, and all of a sudden, he's got a nation. He's praying for a nation. There's several cities in this nation. I'm just like, and God's answering this prayer. And then, like, I'll literally see a video of him saying, hey, man, we planted a new church. They trained a pastor up, so we helped build this little building for them to meet church in. And then literally, like, the next day, he'd just be like, hey, pray for us. He says, we're putting a well in, and it's in a place where the government really don't want us. And then one time, he posted a live video, and they're in this drilling rig, like this large, massive truck to drill, and they're like flying as fast as they can on this nasty road, and he's flying. He's just like, hey, the authorities shut us down. We got to get out of here, you know. And they're on the move. This thing's going, and you could tell the driver over there is nervous wreck, and I'm just like, my gosh. And I'm just like, dang it, I burnt the burrito in the microwave. Jeez. Our lives were so different. And let me tell you what it is. This dude, man, he presses towards a mark. He wants his life to really count. This guy actually authored a book. The title of his book is God's Taken Me From a Mess and Made Me a Missionary. And so just a beautiful story. I was trying to get him up here in November was it last year or the year before? But one day, man, we can meet this guy and let him rub off on us a little bit. So everybody got Philippians 3:13 down? So heading in, and guys, you know what this might mean for some of you? Forget last week. Forget it. It's the 1st through the 7th, and I'm not sure it was everything I wanted it to be. Well, guess what? That's history. So forget what's behind, And the next thing it says here is reach forth. Make a stretch. Reach forth. Start going forward and press towards the mark. I like those words, press. I like those words, the high calling of God. That's what we really need. I'd like to take you next to the most famous verse in Scripture on vision that people quote, and it's Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So this is the verse everybody likes to quote when we're talking about vision. You know, vision, setting a direction, looking for the future. If you study the word vision in Scripture, think more mentally than just even with these eyes, but it is truly seeing. But it would actually cross over to an area like a dream, a goal that's so big. You know, we need goals and we need direction that's bigger than us. And two, as Christians, we're supposed to be people of faith. Means that there should be goals in our life where I don't think we have the muscle or the money to accomplish it. But we feel like God is telling us to do this. And that's what we need to do. It's amazing to me that one of the most famous hymn writers, Fanny Crosby, this girl was blind ever since she was a baby. She wrote 9,000 songs. And a lot of her hymns we would know. And we're not a huge hymn singing, but after that New Year's service with Stephen playing up, we thought, why aren't we doing more hymns? That was great. And so we are maybe going to push that direction a little bit more. But you know the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes, she wrote that song. But here's what's crazy. A blind lady writes words like, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. She's blind. But by the way she writes, she sees. And also in Blessed Assurance, there's a line where she says, watching and waiting, looking above. She sees. She sees. And this is what we need by faith. We need as we read God's word, as we look, we need to be the people that just say, my gosh, we need to further people, further the house of God. We need to be kingdom minded. That's what we need to be. She wrote the song In the Cross, which she said, near the cross, I'll watch and wait, Lord, hope, hoping, trusting ever. She wrote the song, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. She wrote that song too, and that she wrote these words, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus I see. She sees something that most people do not. She's seen the high calling of God. She's seen it and clearly wanted to be a part of it. And guys, this is what I want today. I want God to motivate you and me to be filled with faith. Why are we settling for being who we were? Some of us were lousy Christians last year. Let's put that behind us, man. But don't just put that behind us. We're going to press forward to saying, you know, I'm going to get after it. I'm going to swallow my pride, and this is what I'm going to do. And as a church, when we put together a vision, a plan, this is where we all get together and say, I'm going to get after that. Right? We're going to execute violently. That's what we're going to do. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, people will perish. You know, sometimes when we think of perish, you know, we're thinking like, okay, without vision, without people seeing what God wants them to see, you can end up in hell. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says your eternity is either heaven or hell. You can burn. But I think this, for practical sakes for you and me, he says, where there is no vision, people will perish. That word perish, perishable, like things will go bad quickly. That's what happens. A lot of times, if you study the word perish in Scripture, it's associated with the word naked. Ain't that funny? Or a leper. Yeah, a leper. Yeah, his head needs to be bare. Shave his hair, right? Or it'll say in Leviticus 10, hey, don't uncover your head. Ladies especially, we're supposed to not uncover. That word uncover, same word translated here, perish, right? And so, or Proverbs where it says, and that guy's foolish because he refuses instruction. That word refuse, or I like to think of a refuse, you know, like a more of like trash, you know, instead of just refusing God's word, but refusing the instruction. So where there's no vision, the people will perish. Things will go bad quickly. They won't do well. Or looking at the ways it's translated, people let loose. There's a lack of restraint in their life because they lack vision. They don't really have the cause anymore to even refrain because they just don't see. So you can see where Paul says godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable to all things. God, I need vision so that I don't start going backwards or let loose. There's another definition like of this perishing without vision. You know, people will perish. Like without clear direction in lives, it's the same principle in the Bible as a father guiding his children. If they don't have no guidance, you can see how they turn out. You know, people look at children all the time, like they're wild, they're not where they should be. But then you go back and look at parents and you're like, there was a lack there of guidance. And parents, man, I got one for you. Our kids go wayward. There's no doubt about it. Our kids do bad things. The key at that point, the Bible says for parents, you know what it says? It says rule them well. It's not that kids don't make stupid decisions. All of us made stupid decisions. What godly parents do is that's when they step in. That's when they step in. They don't step in to cover it up. Sometimes they step in even with judgment, the Bible says. But I just like that where you take a little bit of ownership because without guidance, they're going to continue going around the wrong path. Instead of stepping in and say, I don't care what you think of me. I'm your guide here. I'm your parent. It don't matter to me. You're messing up, Aaron. It's over. It's not on my watch. I'm not going to let that happen. That's when you pull out the dead fish and you slap them. That's how it works, right? And so it's the same thing in the Bible. Without vision, people perish, or without guidance, without people in the proper leadership in their life, they'll do their own thing. Welcome to Laodicea. It's the rights of the people. It's actually, if I would take all the details out, I could just say, it's rebellion. That's all that is rebellion. But people would say, I'm not rebelling against God. I'm just rebelling against your parents. Dude, you hearing how what you're saying there? When God clearly set this structure, this order up in your life, it's leaving you in a bad spot, sir. Not good. You know, that's why the Bible says I should love my wife as Christ loved the church. So the love I show, or the lack of love I show, is actually the lack of love I'm showing here. And the same thing with her. That's why the Bible uses those terms. Godliness is profitable unto all things. We need to be godly. Yeah, forget the past, reach forth. But even Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, man, people will perish. We need to make sure that we see things the way God sees them. We got to have the proper mark. We got to have the high calling in mind. Hey, let me show you a verse that we looked at last week. Everybody flip over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, this is our church age, right? We already looked at it in verse 14, Laodicea. And one thing we talked about last week is what we're famous for is this lukewarmness, right? We're not really hot. And by the way, get hot for Jesus and watch what happens. Get on fire for the Lord and watch what happens. I just got done teaching church history, and anybody that got on fire for the Lord, you know what happened? They were labeled the heretic. They were labeled as lunatics. It was the church, the lukewarm church members that would just say, that girl's got problems. That's too extreme. Who does he think he is? And that you watch the fruit and you look at the end of their life, like, oh my gosh, that's kind of how this thing works. Here in Revelation, we see that our church period where we live today, it's lukewarmness. people do whatever they want to do. It says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's what we say. See, we don't even have proper perspective on ourselves. Rich, increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And you don't even know that he says you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So in verse 18, he counsels them to what? To buy. Like, to press forward. You might not have the money for this, so you're putting your money. You're saving those pennies, right? You're building up for this, so you're reaching forth. You're going to go after it. He says, what you need to do is you need to buy of me gold tried in the fire. A little difficulty in your life. This is tough, right? And then he says, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. And here's the part I want to look at next. And after the shame of thy nakedness not appear, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. We are known as a church age, as a group of church members, especially in the west part of the world, we don't see things accurate. We don't accurately see things, but yet everybody thinks they see things accurately. So everybody has their own opinion, their own view, and it's right. This is truth. Oh, it don't matter what you say. Oh, I disagree with that. I'm not necessarily even a little biblical, and the Bible's such a dangerous book. But here's what I want to do. Off of this passage, and we're looking at this, man, we need some eye salve that we may see. What exactly is this eye salve that we may see? Well, last passage I'm going to this morning is Mark chapter 8. Let's all go to Mark 8. Which is a beautiful story. Mark chapter 8. And let's go to verse 22. It says this. He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. So a dude's blind. They want Jesus to put his fingers on it. Verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Verse 26, he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into this town and tell it to any in the town. And anyways, there's a reason why that happened too, but blind man. Here's the story. We just read it, a few verses here. Jesus takes the man by the hand, led him out of town, which is a beautiful part because, you know, when Jesus was crucified, he was taken outside of the city, just a nice little preaching point. But Jesus gets him out of there, and what does Jesus do? Dude can't see. So I think he needed a little eye salve. So Jesus spit in his eyes. Ain't that weird? Then he laid his hands on him. And he asked him, hey, you see? In verse 24, this blind man says he looked up and he says, I see men walking as trees. Well, that's not accurate. And all this is a beautiful picture of Israel. There's a whole prophecy for the nation of Israel right now. They're not seeing things. They're partially blinded. God's going to bring all this back. This is an Israel doctrinal story. But practically, this blind man says, I see men walking as trees. So, hey, do you see? Kind of. A little bit. Then verse 25, Jesus put his hands on him again. And here's what I like. For the second time, it says Jesus made him look up. Do you see? And Jesus made him look up. And when he looked up, the Bible says he was restored. And he saw every man clearly. Crystal eyesight now. Guys, Revelation tells you and me that we need to anoint our eyes with eye salve. Now, there's other passages in the Bible, like in John chapter 9, where there was a blind guy, and Jesus spits in the dirt, man, and he rubs it and makes a clay and then rubs it on dude's eyes and says, go wash. The dude washes and says, I see clearly. Let me tell you this eye salve. Let me tell you this spit that we see. Because, you know, Jesus spit in this dude's eyes here in Mark. But in the other passage, a different story, he spit on the ground. Jesus has spit several times in the Gospels. But let me tell you, Jesus was born of a virgin, right? Jesus was God in the flesh walking around. This is who Jesus Christ was. So in Jesus, what needs to happen is the Bible says we were all created from the dust of the ground, from the dirt. So when holiness collides with humanness, it provided healing. And so here, Jesus grabs this dude who is blind. And you know the other story about who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's blind. You know, they worked that whole story. I know we like to think sin always reaps different consequences for sure. This guy just could not see. And so Jesus grabs humanity and injects holiness, man. He spits right in his eyes. And it says he touched him and he says, look up. I believe some of us, like, I think we met Jesus Christ and we're saved. And we just find ourselves today not seeing very clearly. And let me tell you the key to this is, we've already had, you know, Jesus put his spit inside this dude's eyes. Yeah, and the eyes are one, you know, you got all these holes in your head, and that's why they say, be careful, wash your hands constantly. Why? Because we're constantly sticking, I'm always rubbing my eyeball, you know, I'm thinking, man, everything we're touching, people sneezing everywhere, oh, I sneeze everywhere. Then I rub my eye, you know, rubbing your tongue, you know, I don't know if you rub your tongue, I rub my tongue sometimes. I don't know how you get hair off of it, I don't know. But we just do that type of thing, and basically what Jesus says, to infect this guy, I've got to put holiness on the inside. And so he did. He spit, and I think, Holy Savior. And I, you know, and I also think of, this is what love is supposed to do. You know, when you meet somebody, I remember on my honeymoon, the very first night, me and Becky were together. The very first night, we woke up in the morning, she walked in the bathroom, I forgot my toothbrush. So she had a nice toothbrush, and so I was using it. And she was very offended that I brushed my teeth with her toothbrush, which makes no sense to me, because I said, Becky, do you realize last night, like, we swapped bodily fluids in more ways than one. You're offended, but you put your spit in my mouth, and I drank it. I'm fine with that, and now you're offended the toothbrush. You can wash this toothbrush right in the sink. But what happened to last night? The point of the story is this. My wife's ridiculous. The second point of the story is when you're in love, you swap spit. I don't want to swap spit with anybody else. I got one lady, she's mine. And we even have some great examples of that in our lives, some great fruit with our children that even came out of that whole point of what? Swapping fluid, you know? And the whole point was Jesus got on the inside and it changed this man. He was able to see. And towards the end, he was a little bit jacked up, and so still not seeing clearly. Like, I think some of us, and Jesus literally grabs him and just says, it says he made him look up. Today, this is my prayer that God would make us look up, that God would just make us, because some of us we're seeing, we're just not seeing clearly. And we need some real vision. We need something really to stretch. What's the stretch for you this year? I had an old missionary. I went out to lunch with this guy, and he was, like, getting ready to retire. This guy had been all over the world, but super dude. But he had a famous question. He's just like, so what are you trusting God for? He'd say that from the pulpit, and we're like, yeah, whatever. You sit at lunch with him. He's like, man, what are you trusting God for? He wanted me to name things that were so big that if God didn't come through, it was God. Or if it came through, it was God. Like, something so big that it wasn't just like, well, you know what I plan on doing? Yeah, I'm going to run this many miles this week. Well, you might be able to do it. You might not. Maybe, you know, I don't know how that works. But no, something way beyond that. Something where we're seeing what Jesus sees, what God sees. We're seeing the supernatural. We want to be godly. We wouldn't just think, you know, of the things that are just so possible. But I'm talking about things that are impossible. Can you imagine fishermen out on boats fishing the Sea of Galilee? And Jesus pulls them all aside, and he's been working with them a couple years, and he says, okay, guys, we've got to take this to the world. I grew up here my whole life. This seashore, this is just what I know. This area, now I've been out in the sea, and it's a big sea, it's all that, but then I come home in the evenings, sometimes in the mornings. Jesus is saying, yeah, I want you to see something different. You know, the majority of the world is filled with water. You know that? There's a reason why Jesus uses the example of water of the word. There's a reason Jesus used the example of, I will make you fishers of men. Because everywhere you go, all over the world, you know, it's amazing, that Alone show that we talked about a while ago, I'm still not done with that, by the way. And it's amazing, the success on that show comes down to fishing. Hunting a little bit, but you hunt them animals up in like Antarctica, there ain't, them guys, man, half those things, they're just so lean. But you can get a lot of fat from some massive fish up there. So that's the key, is really to do the fishing. And I love that because it reminds me that the Bible says, you know what the key to our church is? It's fishing. It really is. It's a big part of what we do. Now, we need to make disciples, but it starts with fishing. If you lose that concept, you know what you're going to be? Oh, you're going to lose weight. You're going to actually look pretty lean, but you're going to be unhealthy. You're not going to have any sort of sense of sort of energy to do anything. And that source of fat from them fish will do it. And these guys that are just eating, like, some of them will shoot, like, you'll be able to shoot, like, some big old moose. Man, it's just so lean. They're like, man, I thought I'd be doing good. And they're like, no, we're going to evacuate you, dude, because you're getting ready to shut down. Because you're like, holy night, it's fishing, man. It's these fishermen. He's like, guys, you've been out in the deep waters, right? In the world, the majority of the world is made up of water, and I want to make you fishers of men. We're going to take this to every continent on the planet. And that's what he did, revolutionized the world. We're here today, thousands of years later, because literally some common fishermen are like, I'm on board. This is crazy, but I'm on board. You know, and then you look, here we're 2,000 years later, it happened. It really happened. It's amazing, isn't it? So today, I'm asking that God would fill us with faith, that we would see what he wants us to see as a church, that we would not be just comfortable with being happy group of people. Our social club would not just be fantastic. Some of us for the social club has died, right? The church is not our club anymore. The church ain't even our friends. And my friend, you need to repent of that. I'm just going to be straight with you as your pastor. You're in a bad spot. And once again, I'll fight with you if you want to, but I just want you to make sure you bring some ammunition. Let's talk about this. We're the church of the living God. God's placed us right here. Guys, I was looking the other day at the continents, and I was just looking, and I thought, there's the United Kingdom up there. Brian Clark's up there. You know, we give that guy like $500 a month, man. He's planting a church up there, which is we get a piece and a part in that. I'm like, oh, there's Papua New Guinea. You see all those little islands out in there? Matt Woods was there. He was a lineman for Monmouth College and came here, got discipled, and wanted to do something big for God. Now he's out in this. Right down, bam, there's the Philippines. I was like, wow. I just kept going through the world and looking at the different continents. And there was one that was really lacking. But then I was just like, here's one. There's Myanmar right here. You know, we got a guy there he's got a church and wanting to do ministry, and we've been in contact. We've discipled him, and now he's saying, we need you to come. I got several other pastors. We want you to come. Let's talk about this. Let's do this. And, you know, here we are in this little building. He's like Vision Conference in November. It's our Vision Conference. We want to see what God wants to say. And I'll tell you, I have people all the time, like, try to tell me that, you know, and I'm telling you, the world has got to be a big piece and a part of this. It's got to be bigger than us. It can't be just little us, you know? And so you're trying to look and see this big picture. He's just like, how about this? You come in, I'll organize some pastors, and we will have Vision Conference Asia. Dude, I feel like a worm right now because I've not even, you know, when you look at the world map, man, you look at Asia, you're like, are you serious, dude? Because I'm not even thinking that big, you know? And then, you know, I just kept going to everywhere we have a person that we know, maybe that we support even financially. And I was just like, my gosh, I was pretty impressed. And I'm going to show you up on a map here. It'll be in a couple weeks, but I'm going to show you where our church has got investments. And then I even looked at, you know, we got South America, and we've got a few phone calls in the last 2 weeks saying, hey, here's what God is doing. I don't know if, you know, what you can do or what part you want to play in this. I went up to North America, and just to hear, guys, you know, like Brad McGuire up in Clinton, Missouri, he's just been a new church plant for several years. We do his men's retreat. He comes usually here in November. Our boys are down in Tampa. There's a new church down there, right near the University of Tampa, because they say there's not even a ton. There wasn't a ton, like a campus type of ministry on that. So that's one of the reasons that drove them there. And I thought, wow, we know that guy. You know, there's just people even here in this country that we know. Jay just preached our vision conference. They're not even 1 year old. They decided they're going to plant a church in an area that has a lot of churches, but they're dead churches. He wants one that has life and wants to reproduce. I guess looking at this world map, I was like, boy, Lord, help me to see things like you see them. I got to see my life like you see it. I got to see this church how God sees it. I got to see our area, right? And bam, bam, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And I got to look at this big picture. And then I'm pretty confident of one thing, and this is not going to happen. If one, I hope that you've met Jesus Christ, you've swapped spit. That tells me there's a relationship you have with him, right? And then at the end, not seeing clearly, like going into, it's January 8th, man. It's a new beginning, and Jesus says this, it made him look up. Look, and I don't know about you, but dealing with a kid, I don't know how you do this, but you've been like, hey, look at me in my eyes. You do. He said, look up. And it says he was restored. It can be just that. Guys, I'll tell you what I'm hearing today from the Lord is that it's time to look up, man. It's time to quit looking so small. It's time to dream big. It's time to leave the past behind and press forward. Would somebody do that today? Let's bow our heads, man. Right now, let's do that today. Is there been anybody in this room that would say, I've got to leave the past behind? The past is holding me back. Is there anybody in this room that would acknowledge that? Raise your hand. We're all got our heads bowed. Leave the past, man. Drop it. Drop the past. It's dead weight. Amen. But now you got to reach forward. Don't just walk out or someone to leave it behind. Now you got to have something to replace it, you know. It's kind of like some of you saying, hey, I'm going to quit smoking. Well, that's good. Leave that behind you. So now what are you going to do? Is it going to be Cheetos? You know, you got to have something. Something will replace it. That's why people that quit smoking get chubby, right? Because you replace it with things that's probably not, it might even be worse. I don't know. Take up smoking again, you know, I don't know. But leave the past behind. Guys, what about Proverbs, man, where it just says, you know what? Without vision, people perish. I find myself in a state of decay. I'm like a perishable item. Like, because there's no renewal in my life. I need vision. I need to see things the way God sees them. Is there anybody in this room that you would testify? You with the story of Mark, that what you really need to do is you need to look up. You need to quit looking right here. Quit looking at what's possible. You know, like, hey, man, what's some of your great ambitions? You ever have somebody say, hey, where do you plan on being in 5 years? Most people can't answer that question. They don't know. They don't know. They don't dream anymore. They don't go to God's word and say, God, what would you have me to do? And yet all these people and all these missionaries that we talk about that move and do things, they're just like you and me. They're just average people. I think God wants to do amazing, some incredible things. But you know what we need? We need the eye salve. Is there anybody today that would testify and just say, you know what I need? I need to look up, man. Do you remember Moses kills that dude? What's he did? Looks to the left and looked to the right. The problem is he never looked up. Or he wouldn't have went through it, that thing. And I want you to know, just like we looked at last week, in the sight of God, in the sight of God, this is what we need. I need that kind of approval. Anybody need that? Anybody in this room would say, you know, I don't look up near enough. I'm just getting through life. I'm not near as spiritual as I need to be. I don't see things the way God sees them. Anybody testify today that say, I've got cloudy vision? Raise your hand. You got cloudy vision? A little bit on the cloudy side. It's just cloudy a little bit, and you know what you need to do? You say, if you know Jesus Christ already, yeah, like you swap spit type of thing, now he's going to grab you and say, okay, look up. Here's what you need to see. And some of you, our goals are so small, and I think it's time today to blow those out of the water. Let's be like Mark chapter 8 and say, God, okay, you're making me look up. You're making me look bigger instead of these little bitty goals for my life. Gang, here's something I'd like to do. Let me pray and then I'll tell you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you for January 8th. I'm thankful for that number in scripture that it's a new beginning. And God, we need a new beginning. or some of our spiritual lives is not where it needs to be. We need to confess that and repent today of that. God, I pray we just don't raise our hand and acknowledge this thing. But yeah, we're forced to look up, get in your word, put a system in place where we're reading your word every day, where we're, Lord, we're around this group of people, the church, that can hold us up, that can keep us accountable. Lord, speak to us, man. May we see, may our goals be so lofty that we need you, God. And if you take your hand off of it, we collapse, that it doesn't happen. So Jesus, we love you today. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful for the reading in Ezra and Acts that we've experienced, that we have seen you totally at work. And God, we just need to see that in our lives and in our church. So that's what we're aiming for today. Amen.